Each week, here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Bounce.
Well, hello and thank you for inviting me in your homes on this beautiful Sunday morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and the Bible said we could and we should rejoice and be glad therein. We got a lot to be thankful for. This another week is come and gone, and the weather's changed. The weather's getting beautiful now. Springtime's just broken loose. We have bad weather, but after all, God is still in control. So let's get right into our broadcast today. I want to do this song for you right here. I love this song. It said, "Cast your cares upon Him, because He cares for you." The Bible said, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus."
Storms of life have shattered all your hopes and plans, and the light upon the path you walk is dim. Remember, God still loves you, and He holds you in His hand. He invites you, cast your cares upon Him. He has borne your grief and sorrow. There's no reason to be down. To believe you cannot win. Though you may not understand the storm you feel within your soul, reach out in faith, cast your care upon Him. You know you searched in all directions, but the way is not safe. It seems that confusion and doubt, they seem to lie on every hand. Forsake you. He is your dearest friend, and He tells you, cast your care upon Him. He has borne your grief and sorrow. There's no reason to be down, no reason to believe you cannot win. Though you may not understand the storm you've had within your soul, reach out in faith, cast your care upon Him. Though you may not understand the storm you feel within your soul, reach out in faith, cast your care upon Him.
Yes, sir, you may not understand the fears and the anxieties and everything that goes on in your life, but just take care of, let God take care of you. He knows how. He knows exactly what we need. He will supply the need according to his riches in glory. So let's just hold on to Jesus and ride out our storm. So I'm glad today for Carol and Ann. I appreciate them. I hope they're listening to the broadcast. And then I want to remember Louise and James Ellison, my how faithful they've been, and Betty Jo and Ernie, and how faithful they've been. And I don't want to forget Bobby and Alicia Coulter. And by the way, I want to give you my new address right now, and you get a piece of paper and a pencil and get ready for it, and I'll give it to you in just a moment. But right now, we're going to do this song. But when I get through with this song, then I'll come back and give you my new address, okay? So you get a pen and pencil while I'm playing this song, and then we will immediately, I will give you my new address, okay? All right, let's do this song for you, and then I'll give you my address. That's about as old as they get. And now my new address is this, 2642 Madams Creek Road. Again, that's 2642 Madams Creek Road. It's still Reverend Tommy Mounts, 2642 Madams Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951. It's the same, except those letters have changed. 2642. As you know, everybody's address has changed, and that's my new address. So I'll give it to you at the end of the broadcast. Let's go right now and listen to this song. Hope you enjoy this one.
Shepherd of my valley, I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do? When my tears flow like a river and my burden
Jesus. I have him. He belongs to me. He and I, well, I belong to him and he belongs to me. Together we stand, but divided we fall. And I thank God that I met Jesus many years ago and he's been faithful to me. And I haven't been as faithful to him as I should be, but he understands me. He, after all, I was made in his likeness, made in his image. He understands everything about me. But anyhow, I'm so glad to report to you today that I know Jesus, and that's very important in our life. Well, let's go right now. I want to do this recitation for you, and I want to do it for Don. Now, Donnie loves these recitations, I do, so I'm going to do it just especially for Don. This one said, me, Pap, and Mother.
When I was just a little tyke, I was set at the table between my Pap and my Mother. Pap, well, he would feed me on one side and on the other my Mother. Oh, we were old chums back then, Pap, me and Mother. On Sunday, we would take a walk through the woods and across the pastures. Pap, he always carried his old cane, while Mother and I would pick at the daisies in the lane. Sometime my older sister was along, and other times it was just Pap, me and Mother. Pap, it seemed, as we would walk along, he would have his head down. He was thinking and couldn't hear me or Mother. Well, the old cowbell would be clanging, and the long lines in his face seemed to tell that he was worried about one thing or another. We did not understand, me, sis, nor Mother. I grew up and I went away. I left the old farm. Just thinking about that day still brings a choke to me. Now, it would have been all right living with my older brother, but I just never could forget leaving the old farm Pap, and my mother. I went back one day and I found Pap all pale and hollow. Saw right off he'd soon be going where none of us could follow. The long streaks of his face showed just how he loved each other. And we would have to talk real fast to hold back the tears. For his eyes were saying just how much he hated to leave me, sis, and mother. Well, Pap went on, but mother's still living. But soon she will too, I reckon. She tells me sometime she just can't seem to see Pap as he's standing there with his hand beckoning. Life ain't long, and I'll go myself one day or another. But then we'll all be back together, me, Pap, and mother. Well, the pretty hill, the new roads to walk, and just to sit down at the river of life, and never more to worry. We'll hear the great choirs of heaven singing, me, Pap, and mother. And Gab, well, we'll play, and Gabriel's trumpet will sound, the beautiful birds will sing to one another, and there we will never more part, no more, me, Pap, sis, and mother.
Did God really say that you must not eat the fruit from the tree of the garden? And the woman answered the serpent, we may eat of the fruit from the trees of the garden, but God told us that the day you eat, that you shall surely die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not die. God knows that if you eat the fruit from the tree, that you will learn about good and about evil, and you will be like God. The woman saw that the tree was beautiful, that the fruit was good to eat, and that it would make her wise. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. She also gave some of the fruit to her husband, and he did eat. Then it was, as their eyes were open, they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Then they heard the Lord God walking in the garden during the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called unto man and said, where art you? The man answered, I heard you walking in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. We can see the picture here that where it's sin versus the blood. You see, sin separates us from God. In verse 8, you will find that God said, the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Man's been dying throughout generation after generation because sin came into the world. Sin does separate us from God. Our sins, according to Isaiah, will separate you from God. Sin is a separator. God cannot look upon sin. God cannot condone with sin because see, sin came between man and God, even in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, they had everything, had the fellowship, they had the garden, they had the home, they had everything they needed. But yet, when they sinned against God, then they lost all of these things. So sin is that thing that separates us from God. Sin even made man afraid of God. Notice that the Bible said they ran and hid themselves. And because they realized that they were naked in the sight of God. And sin is the thing that makes us afraid of God. You see, a lot of folks think there is no fear of God in the hearts of man. But I believe that all man, sometime, one place or another, is going to fear God. That's why the Bible said there will come a time when every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. I believe there will be a fear like a man has never felt before. Simply because there is a fear of an almighty God. Sin degrades the man. It brings him to a very low estate. It's the old songwriter said, it'll take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you there longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you far more than you want to pay. You see, sin not only does that, but it enslaves you. You become enticed and you become entangled and then you become enslaved by sin. Now, a lot of people don't believe that you can become enslaved to sin. They don't believe that sin can have dominion over you. It's just habits, they say. It's just sickness, they say. It's just things that you got to get over. But, sir, ma'am, you can't get over sin. Sin's got to be delivered. You've got to be set free. You're the same as a slave.
Sin has enslaved you. You are a slave to sin. You are a slave to alcohol. You are a slave to prostitution. You are a slave to drugs. You need to be set free from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. You need to let God set you free. You see, the Bible said, "He shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." If we're not in sin, then what do we need to be set free from? We not only need to be set free from sin, but once we have been set free from sin, we need to accept that we have been set free from sin and do not live in the guilt trip. Don't let the devil tell you what you used to be. Remind him of what you are today. Remind him that God has delivered you from the power and the condemnation of sin. Tell him, according to the Bible, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Men are enslaved by sin. Men are empowered by sin. Men are dominated by sin. But once the sin chain is broken, and the broad road you're walking on now has been changed to the narrow road, and you have been set free from sin, then remind the devil of what you are, not what you used to be. You see, sin is that thing that condemns a man. Yes, we've all come short to the glory of God. We've all sinned and come short to the glory of God according to the Bible. But you see, sin may condemn the man to death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You will never get out of sin's dilemma until you're willing to confess your sin. Man's deliverance came because the blood reconciles man back to God. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. When I see the blood, according to the great Exodus, he said, put the blood up over the door. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And today, the devil cannot penetrate the blood of Jesus Christ. The devil cannot come on the premises. You belong to God. The blood has been applied. And once the blood has been applied, then the devil no longer has control of your life. Because you see, that blood brings you back into the fellowship and the realm of God's love. And once you've been brought back into the realm of God's love, then accept that deliverance, accept that blessing of grace, and believe that you have been reconciled back to God. Believe that you have been forgiven. Believe that if you confess it, God will forgive you. And the blood will destroy the fear of God's wrath. You see, no longer is the wrath of God abiding upon you. Because when you were in sin, the wrath of God was abiding. But today, the wrath of God does not abide upon you because now you have been made brand new in the blood of Jesus Christ. Because the blood restores the man back to the right standing with God. Now you can say, Father. Now you can say, now you can know Him in the free pardons of sin, and know that you have a right standing with God because the blood has restored you back to that right standing. The blood will deliver man from the sin of a slave. Because you see, once you was a slave, once you were enslaved by the power of sin, but today you have been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood brings a new life to a dead person. You see, you were dead in trespasses of sin. But once you have had the blood applied, now you are been set free, and you are free indeed. Yes, God said, the day you partake of that fruit, you shall surely die. And Adam and Eve, they experienced the thing that man has been experiencing all down through the decades of time. Because, you see, the seed of man now is contaminated. Every person that is born of woman is born in sin. Once we have come to Christ, we have that born-again experience. He says to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. He said, must I enter again into my mother's womb? He said, no, a man is born of the Spirit and of the water. And today, when you are born again, and born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, and the blood has been applied, then you're made just as though you had never sinned before. Blood, the blood brings a brand new life. You're a new person. You're a new child. You're a person now that can live free from sin. I know that you cannot live above sin. Sin's there. It's always prevalent. That old Adamic nature that is in man will sometime lift itself back and cause you to do things that you ought not do. It'll cause you to say things you ought not say. But, sir, plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember, you're a born-again child of God. You're a child. And as when I was a child, Paul said, I speak as a child. But when I became a man, I put away my childish things. I believe that we progressively are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. God separates us through sanctification, separating us from the world, bringing us out of the world, and bringing us into His relationship and His friendship. But He doesn't do it just one time, and that's enough. Every day, as I die in sin, Paul said, I grow in grace. And as we grow in grace and die in sin and get closer and closer to God, our experiences get stronger and stronger, and then we realize the greatest need.
I have heard of a land, a life beyond this life we know, whose beauty and splendor and its walls and its streets are pure gold. Though my eyes cannot see and my hands cannot touch it and feel, I plan to go there, for I know heaven is real. As real as the air we breathe. Heaven is real, the Bible says, and I believe. There's a place that's prepared for the pure and the free. And how my heart just to know heaven is real. Some say I can't go, and its streets and the city is not gold, and that my glorious mansion, why, is only a humble abode. I still want to go, for that's where my soul longs to be. For my Savior is there, and that makes it heaven for me.
My fathers, we come to close the broadcast. We touch the throne of grace for our friends, for our sick people, for those who are lost without you. And we pray for them, God. We pray that somehow or another they'll claim the blood of Jesus Christ. Because heaven is real and hell is real. The Bible teaches us that hell is a place we need to shun. But heaven is beautiful. It's real. And my friend, you need to learn that. In Jesus' name I pray for you. Amen, amen. Well, neighbor, it has been good to be with you. I'm going to give you my address in just a moment again. If you have that pencil and paper, now write this address down. I need your help. I need your support. I need your prayers more than anything. This day and time seem like that we're falling behind. We're not getting the support that we need really on this broadcast. So I'm making a plea for you to help me if you possibly can. Okay? Goodbye. Be good. And may God bless you. That's my humble prayer. You can write to me, Reverend Tommy Mounts, 2642 Madams Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951. Again, that's Reverend Tommy Mounts, 2642 Madams Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951. Goodbye, may God bless you and yours, that it truly is my humble prayer.
Jesus always been my stay. I'm sailing away on the old ship of Zion.